Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Thank you so much for making that possible. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Let's talk to Michael Bryan. Michael, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm so glad you could join us, and thank you very much.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
All right. First of all, I want to let people know that you're a Tucson attorney, former criminal prosecutor, 50-year Arizona resident, proud, you say, of being educated in Arizona. This is once great public schools, including the University of Arizona, the James E. Rogers School of Law, and you're a lifelong Democrat political consultant, party activist since 2003, and you started the blog for Arizona, making it one of the oldest continuous published political blogs in all of the state. Blog for Arizona praised by the Washington Post to the Phoenix New Times as the best political blog in Arizona. So, Michael, thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening with Biden. We've got a million dead worldwide from the pandemic. We've got literally a situation with inflation at 6.1%, very high. Russia now invades the Ukraine. Democrats, at least two of them, sabotage the Biden plan for trying to help a great many people who would be helped really greatly by his Build Back Better plan. And, of course, it was the West Virginia senator and our senator alone, Kyrsten Sinema, that sabotaged all that. Why would Biden want to be president of the United States under these circumstances? They have to be the most difficult facing any president in our memory.
Absolutely. But I tell you, lots of national security experts are opining that, you know, it's a good thing that he's president right now, because he's probably one of the most experienced people in foreign affairs that we've ever had in the office. And so facing war, Putin attacking Ukraine the way he did, unprovoked, unjustified in any way whatsoever, and in violation of every international law and norm, it's good that we have a president who knows how to lead the world and form a coalition and strengthen that coalition against the aggression of a tyrant like Putin. Ukraine is our fight, too, and we have to do everything we can to get behind Ukraine and help them repulse this wicked, wicked act by President Putin. I mean, it's in the founding DNA of this country to resist tyrants and to support democracy. And here we have a budding democracy has just thrown off the mantle of a puppet dictator that was supported by Putin and was building a vibrant, new democratic society right there in the same soil from which Russia itself sprang. Putin cannot tolerate that. That's why he's attacking. All the excuses that he's made are nothing. The reason why he's doing it is because he has to crush democracy in Ukraine, or the Russian people will realize they could have that too and get rid of his dirty, corrupt, criminal regime.
This seems bizarre to me that the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, is seemingly supporting Putin in this effort. I mean, good God, and he's still running for president of the United States again? How in the name of God can part of the population put up with that particular position on the part of this former president? How can that happen in this country? Yeah. How can that happen?
Utterly abhorrent to everything this country stands for. Any American who loves democracy and understands that that's the way to promote human freedom and American values will look at what Trump has said about Trump being a genius and that he's getting a great deal. He's getting a whole country in exchange for some sanctions. It's just utterly disgusting. And the way that the GOP has responded to this by handling him with kid gloves and excusing this kind of behavior is just sickening. It's like somebody's come to a dinner party and got up on the table and defecated in the middle of the table, and the diners just keep eating and ask that person to host the next dinner. It's insane, literally insane.
Boy, that's visual. I choose not to replay that in my mind, but thank you for a trip through that. Let me ask you a little bit.
The American people are going to look at this and overwhelmingly reject this nonsense from Trump. And if the GOP stands behind it and gets behind Trump's support of Putin, the dictator, the chances of him ever being president again, let's hope it's zero now, but it'll be less than zero.
You know, the RNC's had a position on this as well, and the Republican Party seems a bit wishy-washy, although the President of the Senate and apparently the Speaker of the House are now falling into line with the sanctions as offered by the President of the United States. We need unification of our government in regard to what has happened in the Ukraine. We must have it. We must have it.
Well, for not only...
Yes.
The real test is whether or not they're going to get behind Biden's push to provide aid to the Ukrainians. He is seeking hundreds of millions of dollars in direct military and humanitarian aid and $6.4 billion to support the people of Ukraine in their struggle against the Putin dictator. If they don't get behind that and approve that, it'll be a clear signal that the GOP is betraying democracy.
You're the founder of Blog for Arizona. Talk about the beginnings of the Blog for Arizona, why you did it, how you did it. What now for Blog for Arizona?
Well, what now for Blog for Arizona is to continue to interrogate the GOP stranglehold on Arizona politics. I mean, we've covered Arizona politics since 2003. It was founded as the campaign blog, the Dean for America campaign, if you remember Dean's presidency bid. And then once he dropped out of the race, we converted it to Blog for Arizona and started covering Arizona politics almost exclusively. Over the years, we've added many, many different authors, and we've had authors cycle in and out, and now it's a collective project. It's been going on for near 20 years, and I hope it will continue for many years to come.
Let me ask you, as a person looking very closely at the Democratic Party and Kyrsten Sinema, how much trouble is this Senator in as she might run for another term in regards to her obvious votes against the administration and the will of the President of the United States? What is her future in your respect?
You know, if I was going to pick a strategy for getting elected in Arizona, it would not be to alienate pretty much everybody. Republicans don't like her because she's culturally liberal. Now, Democrats don't like her because she's pretty much spit in our faces. Neither major party is going to nominate her, let alone elect her. So I guess really the only path that she has left is going as an independent. And, you know, that's never really worked. I can't imagine what advice she's getting that she's behaved the way that she has, except perhaps she wants to bag a multi-million dollar lobbying job when she leaves the Senate in 24.
Well, she's still got a few years ahead of her. I don't know how she comes out of this hole that she's dug for herself. I really don't. I don't see how she can make up for what she has done. I don't think so.
No. I'm absolutely sure that the Democratic Party will nominate somebody else for that seat in 24.
Let's talk about this gubernatorial race that's coming up. Hobbs is in trouble, do you think, with her problems? Let's talk about the problems and then talk about her bid for the chief executive job at the state.
Well, I don't see that she's having much in the way of problems with her primary challenger. She's outraising, outpolling all of them. And she is the best placed, most experienced with the statewide recognition and name recognition that she needs in order to actually put up a decent bid for governorship. Depending on who she faces on the Republican Party, I think she's well positioned to take the governorship in 22. It really depends on who the Republicans nominate. If they nominate somebody utterly insane like Carrie Lake, I think we have a really good chance. And even some of the rumblings coming out of the other campaigns, which are doing quite well financially, if not in the polling, unusual. They're running on building the wall, restricting immigration, attacking Arizona education system. You know, these sorts of things are not playing well with voters and will continue to not play well with voters, in my view.
Michael Bryan is my guest. He's the founder of Blog for Arizona. Michael, hang on a moment. I need to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. We have much more to talk about. Stay with me, please. Michael Bryan, founder of Blog for Arizona. The John C. Scott Political Forum. Most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, President of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest, Michael Bryan, the founder of Blog for Arizona. Michael, quickly, a little bit about the lines that have been drawn now for the new legislative districts, and they are new. It just seems to me if you have the power to draw the maps, which the Republican Party seems to be able to do from this independent redistricting commission, which is pro-Republican, then they're always going to have a majority in the House and the Senate, be it one vote, two votes, five. One is more than enough to control. And that's why Democrats seemingly can't control either House. And that's why it's always an uphill battle when Democrats go to the legislature, and sometimes a fool's errand, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
What do we do about that? Because it just continues. I used to talk to Steve Farley all the time. Well, we're going to do it this year, and we're going to have this district and take that. It never happened. Never happened. Will it ever happen, Michael?
Absolutely. First of all, let me push back on the idea that the Republicans controlled the IRC. The Republicans corrupted the IRC process in order to install three Republicans on the committee when there were supposed to be two Republicans, two Democrats, and an independent. The independent was not independent. The independent was a Republican who contributed to Ducey's campaign massively. So, you know, let's start there. We do need to reform the IRC to put more independents on the board and make just one person, not the swing vote, the deciding vote on that panel. So there are things that we can do to fix the IRC. It is fundamentally a good idea to have an independent redistricting committee drawing lines rather than the legislature. But as to what the outcome and our prospects electorally in Arizona over the next decade, I would just point out that basically what they did was they packed all the Latino protected districts, all the voting rights districts, with more and more and as many Democrats as they could in order to diminish our vote in other districts and make them more competitive. So we have more of an uphill climb both in Congress and in the state legislature. All the congressional districts that are held by Democrats right now are more tenuous going forward, except for Grijalva's, which was packed with many, many more Democrats. So we're going to have a harder time holding on to those seats, but I'm quite sure that we will hold on to all those seats in Congress. As to the legislature, they did pretty much the same thing at the state legislature level that they did in Congress, which was pack many of the protected Latino rights districts with more Democrats and make all the other districts less competitive. In fact, we only have really five legislative districts that are truly competitive, at least in their own narrow definition of what competitive is, which is within about 5% either way. So that, you know, based on the electoral year, I guess, and the attitude of the electorate, those seats are winnable. So there are 13 pretty safe districts for Republicans and 12 for Democrats. And so what that means is that, again, as we always have in Arizona over the past couple of decades, we have an uphill climb in order to take control of the legislature, but it is doable. I mean, for instance, here in southern Arizona, they created LD 17 as a sort of a incumbent protection district for Senator Vince Leach. They gerrymandered the district so that it would be a majority Republican to protect him. But the joke's on them, because about 30% of that district is independents. And so when you put together Democrats and independents, which are, in my view, very likely to swing heavily toward Democrats this year, we can win those swing districts and a lot of them. So I would not be surprised if we were able to take control of the legislature, if not this year, in coming years.
Well, it seems to me, and I go back many decades when I was in the state Senate, it's always been the same from then to now. It's not just 31 votes in the House that'll get a piece of legislation moving through that chamber, or 16-14 in the Senate. It is that every committee is stacked with a Republican majority of five Republicans, three Democrats. Tell me how Democrats can get any piece of legislation out of a committee, which it must come out of a committee for any kind of consideration on the floor, at any kind of consideration by either chamber. That kind of majority, that overwhelming majority power in every committee, from rules to appropriations to natural resources, every committee you can think of, packed by a majority membership of 5-3, gives the power to the majority, even though it may be slim. It is still a ultimate power to control legislation, and it always will be. And that's what makes it so frustrating for Democrats to go to the legislature. It was for me many years ago. It was for those who just went there recently and those that will go. They just don't have the votes. And that comes down to a narrow series of elections that you just referred to as the possibility of changing things dramatically for Arizona. I don't see that happening this year, but maybe in years to come.
Their power is narrowing every year, and they see it. That's why they were dead set on controlling the IRC process this time, was to preserve that majority power, no matter how narrow. As their majority in the state legislature has gotten narrower and narrower, they've become more and more draconian in setting up the rules of regular order in order to advantage themselves in the legislative process. So at this point, it's just a travesty. There are no public hearings, even on our budgets. You know, everything is done in the dark, in the back room, negotiated and settled on before there's ever a vote. You know, it's a problem. And the state Supreme Court has recognized that there's a problem with the process. Last time around, they had such a narrow majority and no cohesion within their caucus, so they had to log roll a whole bunch of things into this budget and negotiate that in secret in order to keep their caucus together. They can't do that anymore. And I hope that when the Democrats take control of the state legislature, that they will not continue such abuses, but will have a more open and friendly and, you know, open-facing and cooperative kind of legislative environment.
Mike Bryan.
Not this backroom dealing.
Very quickly, 15 seconds to tell people how to reach you and Blog for Arizona. Quickly.
Blog for Arizona is www.blogforarizona.net.com or .org. We own all those domains. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blog for Arizona. All our contact information is there at the blog if you want to talk to us.
Thank you, Mike, for being on the show. Thanks for giving us part of your weekend. Appreciate it so very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Michael Bryan, founder of Blog for Arizona. We'll be back with Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona and the Democrats of Greater Tucson. That's next.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who is responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Hi, Larry.
Hello, John. How's it going today?
It's going very well. Thank you so much. Great to meet Michael Bryan, who is with Blog for Arizona, also with the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Talk a little bit about where you've been over the last week and where you're going next week with the Democrats of Greater Tucson, Larry Bodine.
As you know, we've been meeting on Zoom for 2 years now, and if you came to our meeting on Monday, you got to hear Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott deliver some good news. One was that the Pima supervisors voted to create vote centers throughout the county. This means that no matter what precinct you live in, you can go to a vote center and drop off your ballot, and you won't run into the problem of not voting in your precinct. So that's going to be a thing of the past. The whole idea is to increase election security, and they're even using electronic poll books to check in voters. So Pima County's become high-tech. The other piece of good news that Rex Scott shared at Monday's DGT meeting was that the county promises they're going to have all of the roads in unincorporated Pima County up to proper condition by 2029. There's 130 miles of roads. Most of them are in poor or failed condition. So Rex Scott was telling us how he combined the use of state and local funds to fix all the roads, so you'll see a lot of improvement, and it's going to all be here by 2029. If you wanted to hear what Rex had to say, we have a video of him speaking. You just go to thedgt.org and activate yourself. Join DGT. It's only $20 a year. Best bargain in politics in Arizona. And then you can see what Rex Scott had to say.
You know, it's amazing. You have archives that go back quite a ways, and there's probably not too many elected officials or even those running for public office that do not have at least some presentation before the Democrats in Greater Tucson that people can get a pretty good bird's eye view of who they are and what they stand for.
Oh, yes, that's exactly right. We have videos of all the speakers we've had since early 2020. So I just put up 9 new ones over the weekend, and now we have 130 videos. So if you're curious about anybody who's holding public office now, who's a Democrat, or any of the Democratic candidates, wow, just go to thedgt.org or Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you can search through our database. So let me just give you a couple examples. We had Terry Goddard on at DGT, and he talked about signing the petition to end dark money. We had Dr. Matt Heintz, a Pima County supervisor, on our program, and he blasted Governor Ducey and Supervisor Christie for allowing 27,000 deaths to happen from COVID.
Got about 30 seconds left. Go ahead very quickly. Tell people how they can go very quickly to the Democrats of Greater Tucson website.
Go to thedgt.org, Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you can find out about our next speaker, Adelita Grijalva, who is going to talk about her strategic plan.
This
so
is great.
Tune in. We'll see you Monday.
Absolutely. I thank you so very much, Larry Bodine, for all of your hard work, and thanks for bringing the Democrats of Greater Tucson into a greater illumination throughout our community. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
The past has been a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. I want to thank Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Have a great weekend, everybody. From Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. And we want to thank all the people.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.